In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sorry, it got out of order. On the last day of February 1939, the 20th century Scots poet, Edwin Muir, had reached a crisis in his personal life. His wife was seriously ill, and the storm clouds of European war were threatening. The next day, he wrote this in his journal. Last night, going to bed alone, I suddenly found myself reciting the Lord's Prayer in a loud, emphatic voice, a thing I had not done for many years. With deep urgency and profound and disturbed emotion. While I went on, I grew more composed, as if it had been empty and craving and were being replenished, my soul grew still. Every word had a strange fullness of meaning which astonished and delighted me. It was late, I had sat up reading, I was sleepy, but as I stood in the middle of the floor, half undressed, saying the prayer over and over, meaning after meaning sprang from it, overcoming me again with joyful surprise. And I realized that simple petition was always universal and always inexhaustible, and day by day sanctified life. Perhaps your soul is empty and craving and ready to be replenished. So let's look together at this universal and inexhaustible prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. This morning we heard the version from St. Luke's Gospel. The longer and more familiar version is from Matthew, but the differences aren't really important. Both versions begin with two crucial words, "Our Father." Jesus' prayer starts with an address and an invitation to relationship. We name the one we speak to, and this turns our minds in the right direction from the outset, and this is what distinguishes prayer from fretting. Rather than letting our needs overwhelm us, we place them squarely before the Lord. Jesus called God Father, and he taught us to do the same. His point was not that God is male. His point was that we can approach God intimately as we would a good dad, trusting that we're dear to his heart. Does this mean that calling God Mother is out of bounds? No, not at all. Many of our ancestors in the faith have done so, Julian of Norwich, for one. Good mommies and good daddies have a lot in common. Our Father, who art in heaven, doesn't mean our Father, who is far away and far in the future. Because in the Bible, heaven doesn't mean way up there somewhere. It means the atmosphere all around us. We're saying, our Father, always near us, our Father who surrounds us. Hallowed be thy name. We pray that we, with all humanity, might keep God's name holy, that we would reverence and treasure God above all else. This is not a petition about protecting God's dignity, as if we could even do that. This is a prayer that we would reveal and revel in God's holiness with our words as well as with our deeds. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You know that God's kingdom is not a geographical place. It's often called the rule of God or the reign of God because it's the range of God's effective will. In other words, God's kingdom is the spiritual and material domain where what God wants to happen happens. This kingdom has existed since the beginning of time. We're not praying for it to poof, suddenly appear. We're praying that all people and nations may attune their will to God's will, to bring about God's purposes on earth, and to enlarge God's kingdom. So when we add, "Thy will be done," that's really just another way of saying, "Thy kingdom come." Give us this day our daily bread. We now turn to ask that God provide the food we depend on. This reminds us, because we tend to forget, that our daily physical sustenance depends entirely upon the Lord. But it's more. Daily bread also symbolizes everything necessary to live a full and healthy life. And notice that we only pray for bread we need this day. We're not asking to stockpile food or any other form of security. We intend to live for today, in this present moment, knowing that God only gives us this day, and it is enough. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Well, this means just what it says, that God would not punish us for the wrongs we've done, just as we resolve not to punish other people who have hurt or offended us. We can only deal with God and with each other in an atmosphere soaked in mercy and grace, not in a world of tit for tat. Now, being forgiven doesn't mean we're exempt from the natural consequences of our actions. God will forgive you the sin of gluttony if you ask, but that doesn't mean God will keep you from gaining weight if you overeat, unfortunately. Likewise, forgiving others doesn't mean you must protect them from the consequences of their actions. It means you'll be on their side as they bear those consequences. As Dallas Willard has said, the natural consequences of actions have been designed by God to lead us to be the persons we ought to be, to blunt their lessons, maybe to harm those we would help. And do not bring us to the time of trial. The time of trial is more than just the temptation to sin. It's any kind of severe suffering or pain. We make this prayer because we know that as feeble human beings, it's not a good thing for us to suffer. It can weaken our faith, damage our inner life, and make us bitter. So we ask God to protect us from that. So let me paraphrase for you the Lord's Prayer with the language I just used. I invite you to close your eyes and pray this inwardly along with me. Dear Father, always near us, may we amplify your holiness in our lives. May your rule be fulfilled in us, and may we all do your will on earth, just as it's done in heaven. Give us today the things we need today, and forgive us when we disregard you. as we choose to forgive everyone who hurts or offends us. Please don't put us through severe trial, and deliver us from any suffering that would shut us off from you or others. Because you are the one in charge. You have all the power and all the radiance forever. Amen. Finally, not done. I would encourage you to play with the Lord's Prayer when you pray it. In your prayer time, let it be a prompt to extemporaneous prayer from your heart. Say each phrase one by one and then elaborate on it using details from your daily life. Like Edwin Muir, let the prayer replenish and still your soul and surprise you with joy. Amen.